Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The reading is taken from Luke chapter 3. The people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. John answered them all, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I will come, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire." When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Shall we just pray as we remain seated? Gracious God, send your Holy Spirit upon us, we pray, to help us to hear what you have to say to us today through your word. Open our ears, open our hearts, that we may learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, friends, if your minister stood here telling you that you should take a cold swim in the River Don at 5 a.m., notwithstanding medical exclusions, wouldn't you expect that that is something that they would do too, and possibly regularly? Yeah, I can see that look on your faces already. Oh my goodness, what are we going to have here? Well, of course, leading by example, the minister can demonstrate the benefit to you of taking a cold swim at 5 a.m. Leading by example. But let's face it, why should you do it if they said it, but they didn't do it themselves? Now, you'll be pleased to know that I am not asking you to take a cold swim at 5 a.m. in the River Don, or at any time for that matter, because I don't do that, but I do have friends who love swimming in cold rivers and lakes all the time. Good luck to them. I do like water sports, I have to say, but I usually wear a wetsuit if I'm going to do that. I like to be warm. We have just heard in the scripture that's been read for us about Jesus' baptism. I wonder if you could just think about when you were baptized. Do you remember that day? Do you remember that event, what it was like? I wonder what sticks in your mind about your baptism. What do you think it meant or signified? And maybe just hold that thought, okay? And if you haven't been baptized, I wonder why that might be. There may be all sorts of perfectly good reasons. Perhaps you haven't got round to it yet. But I'd still invite you just to listen and think about this and let God guide your heart in this. But as we dig into this scripture from Luke, here comes Jesus, the Son of God, perfect and without sin. Do you ever wonder why he needed to be baptized? Because even John in Matthew's Gospel is recorded as saying, or is trying to deter Jesus, saying, "It is I who need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" Well, of course, Jesus responds, "Let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness." We know it's you and I who need to be baptized to repent of our sins and receive God's forgiveness. It's a courageous outward sign to the world around us that we have committed our lives to following Jesus. I'm going to make a confession to you, okay? Don't tell anybody else this. This is just between you and me. Is this all right? Years ago, before I was actually involved, or should I say committed, to the Church of England, I was working in Cornwall, and I was involved in a little Pentecostal house church at the time. And, you know, the work I was in Cornwall for was to serve the deep sea fishing community. I was a fairly new Christian, to be honest. And I was wondering about baptism. Yes, I'd been baptized as a baby. Yes, I'd been confirmed as a teenager. It was all part of the process. But I don't know how much really was in my heart. But by this time, I was fully committed to Jesus and to serving him. And so this scripture came to me through three different people. This one about, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Three different people said it to me, and it came to me one morning in prayer as well. And I felt a deep sense that this is what God wanted me to do. And so I was baptized in the sea at Marazion. And actually, I got the double dose, because as I came up, the pastor pulled me back up again. I got hit behind from a wave again, so the double dose. I have to say, it was a really important day for me. It really was. That's what really sticks in my mind. The thing is, ritual, like baptism, is meant to be public because it does three things. It marks an important life event. It's a landmark. Humanly, we need to give voice or action to our words and our thoughts about life events. It shows clearly and publicly our commitment and our intent to a new way of life, a new way of being. It holds us to account. It helps church, friends and family and the public around us to join in and support us in that commitment. So just think of how important other rituals are, such as marriage. We've just read the banns of marriage, haven't we? Marriage is not just two people morphing together quietly under the radar, but it marks a statement of intent to be as one, living by the responsibilities as well as the joys of marriage. A presidential inauguration or the ordination of clergy, the licensing of readers and other lay ministers, it makes a statement that someone has been affirmed in that role by others and are being commissioned publicly to do that role. Commissioning a group of school leavers, perhaps, it holds and marks the end of a chapter of schooling, and it sends them out with blessing to the next chapter in their lives. So ritual is a human response and a need that we have, that cultures the world over have had ever since Adam was a boy. And although baptism might seem just like a ritual to us, it is much more profound than that, as we shall see. So why did Jesus do this? Well, the fact that it is recorded, not just in Luke, as we've heard today, but in all four Gospels, that should tell us that this is important. The baptism of Jesus is recorded in Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And John's chapter focuses more on the divinity of Jesus and his messiahship. And we'll come back to that bit just a little bit later. But for the core of this, the three reasons that Jesus was baptized. Let's just look at that. Well, the first reason that I believe Jesus was baptized is that for him, baptism was a public sign of his complete dedication to following the will of God. By submitting to baptism, Jesus acknowledged God's claim on him, as on others, for total consecration of life and holiness of character. It wasn't a consumer choice, like going to the end of term prom, for example. No, he submitted to it. And in Matthew's account, Jesus said that he had to do this to fulfill all righteousness. It was the right thing to do. Everyone else who came to John for baptism needed a change in direction in their lives. Hence the call for them to repent of their old ways and turn to God's way of life. And so for us, our baptism should equally say that as we repent of our sins, that is now our complete dedication to following the will of God and receiving his forgiveness. It's being washed clean. So Jesus' baptism was a public declaration of his love of God the Father and that he was following the will of God in his life. The second reason that I think Jesus was baptized was that it announced the beginning of his earthly ministry. Both John the Baptist and God the Father confirmed Jesus' unique calling publicly. As I alluded to earlier in John's account, it focuses on the divinity and the mission of Jesus. And John said this when Jesus turned up at the Jordan to be baptized. He said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." And then in his account, he goes on to testify. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. And I myself did not know him, but the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come and remain on is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' And I have seen and I testify that this is God's chosen one." That's what John's gospel tells us. So Jesus' baptism was a consecration for his ministry, confirmed by God the Father in the sign of a dove resting on Jesus, and also the voice from heaven which said, "You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." See, when we come to faith in Christ as Lord and Saviour, it isn't just a private faith for our own spirituality and lifestyle. Living faith is public, hence the public nature of baptism. Baptism is the public sign of new life, the transition from darkness into God's light, and a commission to service in his kingdom. Our baptism commissions us to service in God's kingdom, and it expects of us that we will grow in love and in Christ-like character and service of the world for which Christ himself died and rose again. And we can be sure of God's blessing on that. Some of the liturgy in the Church of England baptism service says this: "Blessed are you, sovereign God of all. You lead us from death to life. In baptism, you create a new people, cleansing us from sin, consecrating us to service, and transferring us from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of your beloved Son, where, with all your people, we may know your grace and proclaim your unchanging glory. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And the third reason that I think Jesus was baptized was as an example to us. We expect good leaders to lead by their example. Jesus taught his followers to be baptized, and here he is giving a firm lead. His baptism was an example that we do well to follow if we have not done this. Why was Jesus baptized in the River Jordan? The River Jordan? Well, it's warmer than the River Don, I'll tell you that. We're talking about commissioning as well. The Great Commission in Matthew 28 reads as follows: "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." So when we're baptized, we are united with God's church and the whole church mission. All of us united in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I'd just like to share a story with you of a young Christian man that I met in hospital. He was on the spinal injuries unit at the Northern General. And this was a young man who'd been pretty much abandoned by all of his family. He hadn't lived well when he was younger, and life just hadn't gone well for him at all. He was very much a prodigal. But he had come to faith, and it was our joy to support him in that while he was with us in the hospital. And then I discovered that this young man was on an end-of-life pathway, as we say in hospital language. He had terminal cancer. So one day I was talking with him, talking about his faith, and I discovered that although he had a very clear faith in Jesus, he'd never been baptized, because no one had ever told him about it. So I asked him what he thought, and we just discussed it, and I tried to explain it to him. Wondered if he might be interested in that. And he grabbed it with both hands. He grabbed that opportunity. So myself and another colleague had the great joy of going to his room one day, and also with two other support workers that came in with us, one of whom was a Christian. All of us together in his room, we baptized him and prayed for him. See, it was as public as we could reasonably make it, but there really was a palpable sense of God's presence and joy in that room. It was incredible. Sadly, the young man died a week later, but I am confident that he died having been well and truly affirmed in his faith, and that God the Father would indeed have been pleased with him, and that he had been raised to new life in Christ. Maybe you were baptized as a child and confirmed later, like me. Maybe you were baptized as a child but have never been confirmed. Maybe never just quite made that personal step. For whatever reason, there could be all sorts of reasons. And yes, confirmation is a very Anglican thing, and it is the practice of this church. But I just wonder, have you been baptized yet? Have you been confirmed yet? Is this something that's holding you back? I'd really encourage you, and also encourage your friends who you may know about, who maybe just haven't taken that step yet, and to be bold and to trust that it's a great way to please the Lord Jesus and to launch out on that exciting road of living faith if you've never actually done that. And for those of us who have been baptized and called Jesus our Saviour, maybe this would also be a good time just to think back on our baptism, what that meant, what that means to us today, and what that means for us going forward from today as we recall that commitment and rededicate ourselves this year to living for Jesus. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we thank you that in our baptism and in Jesus, you have set an example for us. You have led the way by your example. Thank you that faith is a living thing. Help us to live our lives of faith publicly and well for Jesus' sake. Would you send your Holy Spirit upon us, as you have promised, to enable us and enliven us as we grow in the knowledge and the love of Jesus and as we proclaim his glory in our lives. Amen. Well, friends, what better thing to do than to stand, and should we declare our faith in the words of the Creed, which you will find on page 7 in your red books.